Colin Smith said, living communion with God in which He is real, alive, fresh, and present to your soul energizes a God-centered life. So when we approach God, we approach the throne of grace of God. We need to actually believe that He exists, that He is there, that we serve a real and living God and Savior. Amen, somebody. Holy Father God, help us to do that. Help us every time that we engage You in prayer. We pray to You. We read Your holy word. That we help us to understand that we are actually praying to and serving the one and only true God who is living today, and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as this author has stated, this will change everything in our prayer life and in our life of communion with You. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. We're at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 16 through 17, in the family passage that we read as a family for 30 years. Verse 16 reads, above all, taking the shield of faith. And we're talking about the spiritual warfare aspect of family life. One of the tragedies in many Christian homes is people do not understand how much the devil and his demons hate their family. And they want to see their family destroyed. They want to see the relationships. The devil wants to see the relationships destroyed by any means necessary. He will use church members to try to split your family up. He will use people on the job to try to split your family up. He will use money to try to split your family up. Whatever he can do to break up your family, even when your family is already separated because of age and because of marriage, the devil does not quit. He will constantly try to split your family up and to destroy it completely so that you don't pray with one another and that you don't pray for one another, and on top of that, you don't communicate with each other. That's his design. That's what he wants. And so the Bible reads, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Allow me to read in your hearing once again, verse 16. I want you to get this. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Have faith in God, Jesus Christ said, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked. You're going to need that shield of faith. In verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Live by the Word. Stop living by your feelings. I like what Joyce Myers has stated to many, many women. That's one of the reasons why we love Joyce Myers. She basically tells women, she stands flat-footed and tells women to get over yourself, get over your feelings and your emotions, and do what the Word of God says do. And she said that we all have feelings, and we will always have feelings. But what you want to do is turn your, she said, have your feelings to subject themselves to your decisions. The decisions that you make based upon the Word of God. She says you need to get into the Word and obey the Word of God by choosing to obey the Word of God, and then subject your feelings to that choice, that decision to obey the Word of God. Very practical stuff. We have too many Christians who live by their feelings and their emotions. You got folk right now will not go to church tomorrow because the pastor offended them because he didn't come by and rub their toenail or whatever she or he expects them to do. He didn't come over because a half-brother who you didn't know died. And so she is mad as the devil because the pastor did not come and see about her because a half-brother that she didn't even know passed away. You need to stop. You can't quit church because the pastor didn't come. He might have been dealing with a crisis situation. You're not going to church for the pastor. You're going to church for God. Stop living by feelings. We all have feelings, people. Everybody has feelings. And our feelings are up and down all throughout the day. Amen, somebody. And sad to say today, we got more and more men, effeminate, weak men who are tossed to and fro by their feelings, by their emotions. Gone is the day of the strong, hard man who does not display his feelings and his emotions. He just gets the job done. God help us to get more men like that who they just get the job done. They see something that needs to be done. They get it done, and they're faithful. They might be the strong and quiet type, but give us more of them than the fancy sky blue wearing, pink shirt wearing, red tie wearing on top of the pink shirt with a clown mask on men today who are fairies, effeminate, homosexuals, metrosexuals, who cannot get the job done because their little feelings were hurt. Man, the hell with your feelings. You got 5 children to feed, man. Get the job done. You have bills to pay, man. Get the job done. Get rid of your bad attitude. You just is flighty. You complain about your wife being up and down and emotional and flighty. You just as flighty and up and down as she is. Somebody needs to be solid. Somebody needs to be the board. Somebody needs to be strong. Somebody consistent. Somebody faithful. Live by the Word of God, not your feelings, not your emotions. Man, if you live that way, you would never get out of bed. I just got through doing a podcast in the car on the subject of depression in your life, in the lives of people. And do you know that 16% of people in this country are in depression right now? A lot of it living by their feelings and emotions. On Facebook all night, looking at how happy other people are, and you throwing out images, trying to make people think you are happy, and you're not. You are depressed. Your mind is filled with dark thoughts. You have what little friends you had, what little girlfriend you had, what little boyfriend you had, you ran them away like you ran everybody else away. Because you're mean as a junkyard dog, and you're lonely, and you're depressed. And now you're disgusted because your last girlfriend just got engaged, and all you can see on the Facebook page is the ring on the finger. The ring on it, that's all she took. The picture was just the ring, and you have no ring. And you're mad as the devil, and you're depressed, and you're curled up in a fetal position with the blankets on, and it's 93 degrees outside. You have closed the curtains, and it's dark in your room, and it's 12 o'clock noon, and you don't want to even get up to go to the bathroom, much less fix you some ramen noodles to eat. Why? Because you're living by your feelings. You're living by your emotions. A lot of this depression stuff, there's a thing called depression. But a lot of it is people living by their feelings and not living by biblical principles. Yes, even in the church. Live by the Word of God. The Word of God says this, do it. The Word of God says tithe and give, you do it. You don't fret, you don't worry, you don't kick it around, you do it. And then you reap the benefits of that in the sense that you got peace of mind with God because you obeyed God. Subject your feelings to the Word of God. Subject your feelings to your decision to obey God. And then you'll start having better feelings. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As you know, you amaze me because things that are not planned to be said, you prompt me by your Holy Spirit to say them. And I give you the glory, praise, and honor for that and for your anointing, your unction, and the power of your Holy Spirit. I believe somebody was helped already today, and I do pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you'll help all of us here in this family, everybody who's listening and who will listen, to understand they can have the victory in Christ, through Christ Jesus, by making the decision with God's, with your help, Lord, to obey your holy word, and then subject their feelings to your holy word and the choice that you made to obey God, and then they will live a more victorious, more pleasant, more cheerful, more joyful, and more peaceful life. Help all of us to do that. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional Bible passage reading for today is Psalm 77, verses 4 through 9. Thou holdest mine eyes waking, the psalmist said. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. Have you ever been there? So troubled, so under the circumstances that you just throw your right hand up and say, I don't even know what to say. Or you tell your friend, I don't even know where to begin. Like one lady said when the crisis hit, I think it was in Las Vegas, she said, I'm speechless. We've had some reporters recently, in recent months, see the devastation, and they would try to get words out of their mouths, and they would say, I am speechless. Have you ever been there? When it's so bad that you can't even get words out of your mouth, you are speechless. My God, help us. Verse 5, I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I preached several sermons on songs in the night. You will have nighttime seasons in your life, dear friend, and you will need a song in the night. And there's nothing like a song in the night when you're going through. The psalmist said, I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. He communed with his own heart. In other words, he asked himself some questions. Sometimes things can get so bad, people, you need to ask yourself some questions. Now, am I the cause of this? Is there something in my life that is so displeasing to God that he would chastise me like this? What is going on, self? Verse 7 says, will the Lord cast off forever? You begin to wonder now, am I done? Am I done for? Is it over for me? Wow, what in the world? Zip, bam, boom, I was doing fine 1 month ago. Now I'm about to go under. And will he be favorable no more? Will God show me favor again? Verse 8, is his mercy clean gone forever? Notice the wording here. I mean, that means it's gone. I mean, in his mind, is it clean gone forever? What kind of talking is that? I mean, that's coming from a place of desperation. I've got to know. Is God's mercy clean gone forever? Gone would have been enough, but gone, clean gone forever. That's how he was feeling. Doeth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Now you start talking to questioning God. God, what's up? What happened to all the grace you bestowed upon me in years and months gone by? God, are you still there? Some people are wondering that and right now to this day. There are people asking the question, where is God in the hills of the wine country in California? Where is God down in Houston? Where is God down in Louisiana? Where is God in Florida? And the people, the poor people in Puerto Rico, say, where is God? Is he clean gone? My soul, Barbuda country, island country, totally destroyed, devastated. All of the people had to be evacuated. Where is God? Because our country is gone. Paradise lost in the Virgin Islands. Both the English Virgin Islands and the American Virgin Islands. And I've been to the Virgin Islands. And I'm here to tell you, that water you can see when you standing from a perched up on a patio or a balcony, you can see the fish swimming in the water. The water is so blue, it's green. Beautiful. Destroyed. Hath he, God, in anger, shut up his tender mercies? My God, my God. Selah, where is God? If you have not experienced that, my brothers and sisters, one day you're going to have your turn. And it's not a fun experience. This kind of trouble will make you turn over and you'll be like, I believe Hezekiah, and start talking to the Lord, to the wall. Well, you're talking to the Lord, but you're talking to the wall. You just when you don't even say your words out loud, you just say, oh, Lord, help me. Oh, yes, when you don't even say, you don't do those long grand prayers when you're in trouble like this, buddy. Yeah, you just say, you turn it to the wall and say, Lord, you know. Oh, yes. You say, well, I've never experienced anything like that. Just hang, just stick around. Just keep on living. Your day is coming. Join me in praying for the government leaders, governmental leaders, and all of the estates and all others as well. Holy Father God, we thank you for your holy word because we love the transparency of your people in your holy word. And not only is your holy word inspired, it is inspired in such a way that no book is more honest. No book is more transparent. You led your writers by the power of your Holy Spirit to tell the truth, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we love it. And we thank you so much for it. And help those who are going through right now to understand that you're still there. And you could be very angry right now at us in America. And we do, quite honestly, need to be wiped off the face of the earth. Because no country has been more blessed than we have, besides your chosen people, Israel. And yet, there's no country that has been so bad against you, so rebellious and stubborn against you, to the point of sanctioning the ungodly homosexuality that's running rampant in this country, and homosexual marriage. Even Lot had enough sense not to sanction homosexual marriage, and men dressed up as women going into little girls' bathrooms. God forbid. You're not going to let that happen. Just the other day, a crazy transgendered so-called individual, a man claiming to be a woman, went into a little girl's bathroom and molested the child. It was just a matter of time, and it's happening all over the country, of molesting boys, molesting girls or boys, makes no difference. And so, Holy Father God, have mercy and grace upon this country. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins, and especially have mercy and grace upon your church, because judgment must begin at the house of God. And we pray that you would help us to confess our sins and to repent. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Holy Father God, we pray based upon your holy word. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Holy Father God, we pray for the president that we have, President Donald Trump, and his administration, and we know that there are many people who would like to see him replaced. And let your will be done in the life of this country. And we pray that you would protect the president. We pray that you would lead, guide, and direct the president. And we pray that you would give him wisdom, knowledge, and understanding far beyond his years and his ability. And we pray for salvation, spiritual, family, life, prevention and provision blessings upon him and his family and his staff and the entire administration. We pray for the leaders of all agencies, federal agencies as well, with these same blessings. All members of Congress, all governors, mayors, police chiefs, and sheriffs, all military leaders, the leaders of all nations around the world. And we pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the strength of Israel. And Holy Father God, we pray for church leadership. save those who are religious but lost, revive those who are saved, and revive the church, and save those church members who are religious but lost as well, and bring us all back to our first love, which is you. And Holy Father God, we pray for current events around the world. Right now they are burying a young man who was killed in an ambush in Niger. And we pray that you would comfort the families, only you can. The president can't comfort like you can, and nor anyone else. So we pray that you would comfort this family today for all of the dumb stuff that is going on, all of the politics, all of the name-calling is tragic. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because right now they're watching their son, their grandson, their nephew, their husband, the father of beautiful children, be lowered into the ground, and that's when it gets real. So Holy Father God, we pray for the safety, the comfort of these people, and that everything, that you give them grace to get over that when everybody is gone, all of the covered dishes have been eaten, and that mother and that wife have to sit there together and do nothing but cry. Only you will be there. The media will be gone. And we pray that you would help them not only tonight, which is going to be rough, but next Wednesday night, which may be rougher. And we pray for not only this family, but the other families that have been impacted in this way. We pray for the safety and deliverance of Christians in Nigeria who have suffered two major attacks this week, for comfort for those who have lost loved ones, and through all of this trouble and turmoil, that people would turn to you, Lord Jesus, and to be saved. And Holy Father God, we pray for the media estate, and we pray that you would lead, guide, and direct them to report the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Help them to stop being the news, and help them not to make up news, particularly breaking news, because we don't have breaking news every 15 minutes. We also pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the prayer requests that have come in to Gospel Light Society and Gospel Light House of Prayer, and we thank you for the privilege to pray for others. We pray for Amy. Please deliver her from destructive and demonic forces and entities, and restore her to good health for her sons, granddaughter, daughters-in-law, entire family, friends, and loved ones to turn to you and be saved, divinely blessed, and bring world peace. We pray for Laura. Please bless her with an apartment that meets her family's needs and enough money to pay for it before they get evicted. And we pray for victory over hardship, daily provision, deliverance, and miracles, and favor and protection for her and her family. Touch Mr. Cooper's heart to get saved and help her family during this difficult time. We pray for Simone. Please help her to study well and get good grades and a great education, and make her healthy and prosperous. Please save and protect all children. Strengthen all preachers and ministries to do your will. We pray for Daisy. Heal her of terminal cancer. Heal her of the fracture in her bones as well. And Holy Father God, we pray for those who have been saved through the ministry. Help these to grow in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be. We pray for Dominique, Estelle, and Janine. And we pray for those who have recommitted their lives to you. We pray for Serena. We pray for Sabusio. And we pray for Inoxen. We commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And for his sake, Amen. Now, beloved, our devotional reading today is titled Put Your Love in Action, Part 1 by Charles Spurgeon. He goes on to say, How much owest thou unto my Lord? Owest thou unto my Lord? Has he ever done anything for thee? Has he forgiven thy sins? Has he covered thee with a robe of righteousness? Has he set thy feet upon a rock? Has he established thy goings? Has he prepared heaven for thee? Has he prepared thee for heaven? Then do something for Jesus worthy of his love. Amen, somebody. Give not a mere wordy offering to a dying Redeemer. How will you feel when your Master comes if you have to confess that you did nothing for him but kept your love shut up like a stagnant pool, neither flowing forth to his poor or to his work? Out on such love as that. What do men think of a love which never shows itself in action? Do you love Jesus? Do you love God? If you do, then you're going to do something for them. You're going to glorify their name. Who will accept a love so weak that it does not actuate you to a single deed of self-denial, of generosity, of heroism, or zeal? Can somebody say amen? Holy Father God, we know you have done a whole lot for us. Help us to do something for you. Help us to do your will in ministering to others. Your holy word and your holy gospel. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, before I leave you, if you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, in other words, if you were to die today, you would go to hell instead of going to heaven. And by the way, unlike what our dear Catholic friends say, there's no such thing as purgatory, and there's no such thing as praying you out of hell, and there's no such thing as a limbo. There's no in-between place. It is heaven or hell. It is up or down. It is in or out. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today. For Jesus Christ himself said in John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. His name is Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible also says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. That is as plain as day, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou you shall be saved. So you have the gospel. You are a sinner. You know it. You have broken some of God's commandments. You have lied before. You have cheated before, which is a form of lying. You have lusted after somebody or something. You have stolen something, even if it's a pen off of your job, or some candy from your mother, or half a sandwich from your father, or some cake from your husband. Whatever the case, you have stolen. You have done wrong. You have broken God's commandment. And because of that, you're on your way to hell. And that's why you need to be saved. by Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ, based upon the Old Testament, is the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world, to wash them all away through his precious and holy blood. And all you have to do is believe in him, trust in him to be saved, and he will save you. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So pray and ask him to save you while you're believing in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase. Holy Father God, I realize that I am a sinner and that I have broken some of your commandments. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon me, and please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me, and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God in the Bible, you are now saved from sin and hell, and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your new found faith in Christ Jesus, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
take us home and fulfill the prophecy. Just like you said he would.
Oh yeah,
and love and happiness.
I hope
he's coming back.
Oh,
for the true and good.
Oh,
everything is gonna be alright. He's coming back. Like you said.